Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let's celebrate God for audacity. Give God praise for them. We can make it better. Give the Lord a hand for them. I hope you all, are you okay? Are you okay tonight?
Yes, sir.
Do you all feel all right tonight?
Yes, sir.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. We started this thought last Wednesday. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yeah. Blessed are those. All right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The word blessed there is the word makarios, right, in the Greek. And it says, an extremely happy person. That's the word blessed. An extremely happy person. It also means a fortunate person. That word blessed also means a well-off person. It means supremely blessed, extremely happy person. Fortunate person. So it says, fortunate are you to hunger for the things of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. So the Bible here is clear that a hungry person is someone who is considered as a fortunate person in the things of the Spirit. If you are not hungry for the things of the Spirit, you can put it this way, it's not a thing to be happy about. Now, TSP is moving into a dimension of the move of the Spirit. And this move of the Spirit is going to be evident in different forms, different expressions in the lives of people. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Some of the things that the Holy Spirit is preparing us for is to be sure that we're hungry for them. Because a hungry man or a hungry woman is someone who goes an extra mile for something. That's a hungry person. You know, I think I'm tempted to ask you what you go an extra mile for. There are some of you who go an extra mile for food. You know what I mean? If I match their hunger with other people's hunger, I would say other people might be moderate. But the moment they are, because of their love for food, the moment they are hungry, they go an extra mile for food. Or for some people, it's football. For some people, it's money. Okay, so let's come to common terms. Let's agree on money. for a lot of us in this room is money. So when you're hungry for something, you go an extra mile for it. Am I talking here?
Yes, sir.
And that's the way you're supposed to do for the things of the Spirit. You're supposed to go an extra mile. Somebody say an extra mile. So I'm saying these things because there are certain things that will be released into your spirit. It is hunger that will redirect the power of God in your direction. You know, there were many people who were around Jesus when they were thronging Jesus. But the Bible says that a lady from behind said, "If I may touch the hem of his garment." When she did that, Jesus turned back and said, "Who touched me?" He said so because expectation and hunger channel the power of God in her direction. So it's true, all of us are gathered in church, but not everybody has the same level of expectation. And you know, because your senses are mostly carried away by what is physical. What I mean to say is, it's easy for you to be carried away by physical things, the things your eyes can see. But what your spirit should discern, it takes extra training to be carried away by the things to be discerned. Not things that you see. However, the things of the spirit can be seen. So I have learned over the years, I mean, it's been, by the grace of God, I've been pastoring for maybe 22 years. I've been a pastor for 22 years. And I have never lost hunger for the things of the Spirit. Never. You know, everybody has down times, you know, high moments, down times. In my down times, I am still crazy for the things of the Spirit. That's my experience. And that's because I am focused on the things of the Spirit, the things of God. So it says, fortunate are you. Happy are you. You should consider yourself happy. You know, when you start to have lethargy for the things of the Spirit, that's sickness. Sickness. Hunger is also a desire for something. Intense desire for something. You know, the Bible says, desire spiritual gifts. You have not because you don't desire. Whatever things you desire, you will get them. Paul gave us a list of spiritual gifts that he said we should desire. All right? The Bible says desire the best gifts. Every believer has been endowed with at least one. At least. Some of you have multiplicity of gifts. Some of you have four that is operational in your life. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, healings. Right? He says all these things are in you. So he says you desire them. Desire spiritual things. Desire to be in a place. There is a place you should be. Psychologically, mentally. There is a state of mind you should have. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. He said desire it. Then the next thing is pray for spiritual hunger. Can we say this one together? Let's make it louder. One, two, go. Pray for spiritual hunger. You know, so you it's important to pray for spiritual hunger because to be hungry for the things of the Spirit is a working of the Spirit. And the Bible says that God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Spiritual hunger is not willpower. I hope that's clear enough.
Yes, sir.
Spiritual hunger is not willpower. It's not. Spiritual hunger is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Yes, it includes your will, but it is not birthed by the willpower. It is a spiritual thing that takes over your will. Of course, there has to be a will, right? So we must pray for spiritual hunger. Whether those who are on fire and those who are not, everybody should pray for spiritual hunger. You know, one of the things I pray for people when I see them in a state that is not where they should be when it comes to the things of God, is I pray for spiritual hunger for them. If you see a man who is very enough, a woman who is very enough, you pray for spiritual hunger. You know, there are people who just lose interest in the things of God. They started out on fire and all of a sudden, you know, there's a place where the study of God's word will birth spiritual hunger in you, especially when you look at the gospel. Because when Jesus opened the scriptures of things concerning himself from Moses to the prophets, when he was talking to those two guys on their way to Emmaus, the Bible says he opened the scriptures to them. And after their eyes were opened, their testimony was, didn't our hearts burn when this man was talking to us? So, in the speaking of the gospel, there is a place that has to making your heart burn for God. But it doesn't stop there, because you have to have that good combination of word, the gospel, and prayer. Because if you are not prayerful on certain things about your spiritual desire, you would lose fervor. Are you following me, TSB? So you pray for spiritual hunger. You pray for spiritual hunger for your pastor, for the pastor to member. You know, we're hungry for more of the things of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well, there was a day, a lady, Prophet Gilbert was telling me of a lady who she doesn't have control of her time. She works somewhere. There was a program that was held in church, and she missed the program. So she got to church at the end of the service, and she was crying. She was crying bitterly. So Prophet Gilbert was saying he was wondering if the lady's mother or father had died. Why is she crying like this? And he asked her, I said, why are you crying? The girl said to him, because I missed the service. That's why she was crying. Meanwhile, there are some people, if your boyfriend tells you, let's take a break, you wear funeral clothes. He didn't say, let's break up. Just say, let's take a break. Oh, my God. That's when you remember God is on your side. You start looking for a man of God to speak into your heart. So the lady was crying. She was in tears just because she missed service. I like that. That's something to desire. You can't be hungry and be okay when you're at home, when it's time for church. It's impossible. Should I say that part again?
Yes,
this is not Koboko service, though. I said you cannot be hungry and miss church, and you'll be okay with it. You know, if you want 20, there's a lady, I've been calling her. I've been calling her since last year. If I mention her name, you know her. I've been praying for her because when it comes to the things of the Spirit, she's not hungry. There's always one ripe. It's like the excuses come up by 5:45 every Wednesday. The excuses mature. Oh, Pastor Phil, you know, it's just a lot of things. Things. And you know what Satan does? When he wants to keep you away from some things, he keeps you out of certain services. I'm telling you, there are many things that I have received that are products of services I was there for. Am I talking to you guys? There are things that I got by being in certain services. It is my hunger that exposed me to those things. You can't be okay. You cannot feel it is all right when there is no drawing to the things of God. And you are, you know, those who chase money beyond God will always be chasing. They will never stop chasing. That's one thing I found out. I have lived long, not full age, of course. As a young man, I have grown to see that money is not the most important thing in this life. If you don't know that by now, it means you don't know anything. Look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball and say, amen. If by now you don't know that money is not the most important thing, you don't know anything. You think you know yourself. You think you know what you want, but you don't even know what you want. The things of God comes first in your life. First. The things of the Spirit first in your life. Not business. Not money. Some people pray, God doesn't answer their prayer. Their spiritual life is in accordance to a prayer point that did not work or worked. Come on, amen.
Amen.
I was with a bishop. He came to see my dad, and he was in my house, I think it was 4 weeks ago. And he mentioned to myself, my mom, and my dad that it was so strange, because he had a program he was preaching on Sunday evening. It was so strange that he had never missed a Sunday morning service in 10 years. So, you know, I feel sick if I'm not in church. I've been this way before I started pastoring. So don't think it's because, Pastor, which other work you get? Calm down. I've been like this. Maybe that's why I'm pastoring. Maybe that's why I'm doing what God has called me to do. So I've been this way before pastoring. I was working one kind of stressful job like this in Benin. And if you know Benin very well, you know that Uniben,
oh, yes, sir,
where you were. What's the name of the
Ugbowo?
Thank you. Ugbowo and Ugbo Road. Second Ugbo Road, precisely because I lived with Mama Idahosa, GRA, Ugbo. And Ugbowo is when you are going to Okada, Lagos. So I had to shuttle Ugbowo traffic. Benin is not like Abuja, where the road networks are great. Sorry, road networks in Benin is good, but the roads are bad. So it's not like Abuja, where you have good roads. I would make service. Bishop Wale he kept wondering how I kept making it. Even when I'm on call, I will find a way. for midweek service just to sit down and hear Bishop Wale teach. You know, I never preached in Miracle Center in Benin when Bishop Wale was there. Bishop Wale did not even know I could preach. Because I was so hungry that I wasn't considering what I could do. I was just thinking about what I could receive. It was when I had left, they invited both of us for a program in Ekpoma. He was guest, I was guest. So I preached first, he preached second. That was the first time he heard me preach. When I finished preaching, he left his seat. He went to sit at the back. He was just looking at me like this. He said, Jesus, Phil, now you be this. But I was too hungry for... struggling for pulpit. I'd pastored in Okada for about 7 years before I came to join Bishop Wale. But I was too hungry for the things of God. So I would leave the hospital, I would just come and sit down and just hear the word. Even if it's 15 minutes I make, I was happy about it. Ah, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. You can't be hungry and not filled. It's impossible. You have not because you're not hungry for it. I want to move you into a place of spiritual hunger for the things of God. You see, that hunger and some of the weights that are coexisting in your life, one will have to drop. Lay aside every weight that easily besets you. And you see, you run with endurance that race that is set before you. Come on, amen.
Amen.
For some of you, the distractions are too much. How can you be hungry? If you indulge in certain things that are wrong and they keep taunting your spirit, you can't put that side by side with spiritual hunger. Whether you like it or not, some way it will catch up with you. It will catch up with you. So it's an intentional thing. You have to do this. You have to tell yourself, no, I've got to choose one. I've got to pursue this. Praise God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. When we call for gathering, yes, it is your will. You know, God gave everybody a will in the garden. I mean, before Adam and Eve. God gave Adam a will. But you see, that will is so independent of God that that will can be used against God. Yeah, I mean, when we say come to church, it is your choice to come. It is your choice. And it is your choice not to come. It is true, it's your choice. But just know that the will, God gave it to you. The power is in your hands to decide what you want to do with your life. I was talking to someone yesterday and I told her, I said, there's something I fear about God. And it is the fact that God knows the things about me that nobody knows. Let me put it this way. And I told the person, I said, God knows you so much that what I fear is that you will stand before him by yourself to account for yourself. You haven't understood what I'm saying. See, have you thought about living with someone who knows your thoughts? Have you thought about it before? Would you like to be around someone all the time who can read your mind? How would you feel if you're always with someone that can read your mind? You'll be insecure about many things. You might feel guilty because your mind not pure in the beginning. From the start. You might feel shame. But think about it. You will stand before God who knows you more than you know you. And you would account for yourself, you and God. That's what I fear about God. That's what I fear about God. So there are certain things that when I say I'm giving to God, I'm not giving to God because I am slaved to do it. I'm doing it because there is a will that I must subject to his will. Jesus did it. He said, not my will, but your will be done. Come on, amen.
Amen.
So let's not deceive ourselves by petty excuses. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of the feast, hallelujah, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him what?
Come
to me and what?
Drink.
And drink. On the last day of the program, it was a program. So the last day, grand finale of the program, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, if anybody is hungry or thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But what was he talking about? Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning, are you seeing this now?
Yes.
Concerning the spirit, whom those in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I explained this some Sundays ago. He says, take my yoke and learn of me. This yoke is a yoke. It's a burden of learning. Hunger is what drives you to learn. Let me give a word of caution. That God has told you something doesn't mean you shouldn't pray about it. Should I say that again?
Yes,
that God has what? Told you something doesn't mean you shouldn't pray about it. There is no time where you stop praying about things. There is no time where you stop praying. In fact, there is no full stop to praying. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Truth. So just because God said something doesn't mean you shouldn't pray about it. The most powerful event in the history of mankind is the coming of Jesus. But there were people who prayed to see that promise. There was a woman in the Bible called Anna, and there was a man in the Bible called Simeon. He says, my eyes have seen the promise, and therefore your servant can depart in peace. These people were in the temple praying until the actualization of the promise. So just because God said something doesn't mean you shouldn't pray about it. The Bible says that you wage war concerning prophecies. Is that correct? Yeah. I'm going to show you how to engage, especially when it comes to impartations. I'll teach you on all those things as time goes on. Even in the death of Jesus, he prayed. He prayed. When Jesus was about to die, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, to do what he came to do. In fact, Pastor Ike, I would have thought that the will of Jesus is enough to carry him through the cross. But it's not. Because you might will it, but at some point the flesh might speak. Should I say what I just said? I said, you might will to do something, but at some point the flesh, how you did, the flesh can speak. So that's why it's important to pray. Jesus knew he was coming to die. It was time for him to die. He went to pray to die. He had to pray to fulfill the dying. Because dying is not easy. Ask your neighbor, have you tried it before? That would be a good joke for someone who has actually tried it. I mean, you know, if Jesus really came to die and God didn't mind how he died, he could have dropped in the hands of his mother while the mom was holding him, and he would die and fulfill redemption. But even in that dying, there's a specific way to die. Have you read your Bible where they were coming to kill Jesus and he ran away? That's somebody who came to die. Yo. So it means that it's not all death that is the will of God. All die, not be die. Yo. All die, not be die. They wanted to push him off a cliff. The Bible says that Jesus navigated. He found his way through them. You know, I like the way the King James puts things. It makes it sound serious. But if we were to explain between me and you, he escaped. The guy dodged them. The Bible says, and Paul fled. Paul the Apostle, praise God. Then when the real death that he wanted to die came, when that time came, that he now started, Kai, this thing. This is Jesus who was telling his disciples, the Son of Man is going to be crucified. Peter said, no, you cannot die. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. With charisma and baritone. Then when the time came, And you know the funny thing? There were three disciples who were supposed to be praying with him for the mission to die. They were sleeping, but if he got carried away, if Jesus was sleeping at the time he was supposed to die, he may have said something to Pilate that he shouldn't say. Because he must be a spotless lamb to the slaughter. He must not utter a word that is contrary to salvation. So it's not even just about the dying. It's about the process to the dying. Yes, that he must die properly. He must die well without speaking guile. He had to pray for that kind of strength. That's why I'm telling you that you can will something. There are people who I know who want to be believers. But the problem, their problem is too much. There are things you must pray about for God to help you. And you know something I learned about that phase of Jesus? If you leave your responsibility to the opinions of people, you can be misled. You don't understand what I just said. I'm saying that if Jesus saw the disciples sleeping and he was discouraged, see, first of all, it's not their mission to die. These are people who told him, we will die with you. Wherever you go, I shall go. Do you remember that Yoruba movie? No, you can't remember. This is like 25, 30 years ago. Ogogo. Who knows Ogogo? Ogogo. I die for you. Oh, you don't know the story. There was Ogogo. This is Ogogo. There was a guy who took a pistol and shot Ogogo. Ogogo's babe. Now stretch. And she collected the bullet for Ogogo and looked into Ogogo's eyes and said, Ogogo, I die for you. That thing traumatized me as a child. I never forgot that scene. Never. Oh, praise God. So those disciples told Jesus that we would die with you, we would die for you, we would tear with you. For where? When push came to shove, everybody was sleeping. Let me tell you, you know the burden that is in your heart. So don't let anybody impose impose on you an opinion while you are hungry for the things of God. Don't let anybody. They don't carry your burden. Nobody carries your burden. Nobody carries what is in your heart. Nobody carries what you are feeling. Nobody knows what God told you. So if you are waiting on God for certain things, you must not let anybody confuse you or impose why you are committed financially or with your time or with your sacrifices. So, I'm careful with what people say around me. Very careful, because I don't want anything to... Let me tell you something I do. You see, I honor you guys very much. I respect you. And honor has to be both ways. Honor is not always members to pastor. It is also pastor to members. And one of the ways as a pastor that I honor people is that I will not bring myself as the pastor of the church to be in an environment where a member is being discussed in a negative sense and it is not in any way constructive. I will not do that. Because there are certain things that when you hear, it affects your heart and receptivity towards the things of God. There are some things you just should not have heard. It's better you don't know some things. Someone is coming to tell me about... In fact, it doesn't happen because all of you know how I am. You can't even come and meet me. First of all, fear will not even let you say what you want to say if you're not trying to say constructively. So that's one way I honor. I don't discuss members because I am called to bless.
Yes, sir.
And if the heart is not right to bless, it becomes a problem. And it's the same way. You must protect your receptivity because your hunger for the things of God must be intact. So you can't be in an atmosphere where people are feeding you with all kinds of... There are some things you better should not have said them. You know, the Bible says be slow to speak. In fact, some people just say things and when they say them, they realize what they said was misleading. By the time you want to come back to change it, the damage is done. People were okay until you spoke. Everybody was fine until you said something. Now you've said something, everybody's mind is wondering. Hunger for the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's more I want to tell you, but you know what I want us to do? You know, I said something on Sunday. I said, your posture in the service and an open mouth are the best channels for you to unleash your ability to receive. You must have a right posture for receiving. You must. And your mouth cannot be closed. Praise God, somebody. Where God is taking you to, He wants you to see the move of the Spirit in your life personally. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I mean personally, not just when we gather, also personally. When we gather, it will happen, but also personally. There was a scripture Bishop Wale Oke read when I went to Ibadan. Let me see if I can find it. He was talking about how that the children have not seen the glory the fathers have seen. And you know, I said something to you on Sunday that if the move of the Spirit is not taught in this generation, it will be lost. So there are some things that cannot just be taught only. They can only be caught. That's why when you listen to tapes, where's Obi? Obi got healed on Sunday. I can't remember her testimony. But do you know that if she probably missed Sunday service and she's listening to the tape, she may be edified by the words, but she may, it's not a hard and fast, she may not be healed. Because impartation is what happens in proximity to the word. See, sometimes it is what is going on in real time. That's why online church is an alternative. It's not a recommendation. It has never been. When I read the Bible, there is always about the thing called the gathering. The gathering is always talking about the gathering. When we come together, something happens when we come together. You can't refute it. There is no culture. There is no times. There is no era we get to that wipes that, that changes that from the scripture. Anything that attempts to do that is fighting scripture. And they all assembled in one accord. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. So there's such a thing as the gathering. Such a thing as the gathering. So never, you must have the understanding that something happens when we gather. You know, why Pastor Ike, why didn't Paul write in Romans 1:11 when he said, I long to come to you that I might impart some spiritual gifts to you? Why didn't he say, I pray from where I am that spiritual gifts are imparted to you? He said, no, I will come to you. He said, I long to come to you because in my coming, there is an additional thing it brings to the table. So it's possible she may have been edified by the words, but may not have been healed. Because impartation happens in gatherings. So that's why you see, in these things called the things of the Spirit, right? This move called the move of the Spirit. You must be hungry. You must know why you're doing what you're doing. You must not let anybody confuse your mind. Hunger is going the extra mile. Are there things you go the extra mile for? If you do, then you have the ability to go the extra mile. Go the extra mile for the things of God. Some of you are outright evangelists. Some of you are prophets. Some of you are teachers of the word. Some of you have gifts that need to be activated. Gift of healings, word of knowledge, workings of miracles, all kinds of gifts you have. Let them come. Come on, amen. Amen. Who is hungry for the things of the Spirit here? Yeah. Hi, Moby. It's good to see you, darling. Hungry for the things of the Spirit. You know, God gave a promise. Jesus said to the disciples, Luke chapter 24, maybe it's the last scripture, then we would. Paul, come and help me. Luke chapter 24 and verse 48. Luke chapter 24 and verse 48. It says, you are, what? What does your Bible say? Let's look at it. You are witnesses of these things. Right? Next verse, what does it say? Behold, I send what? The promise of the Father, of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. What does the next verse say? And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. You see? So he told them, tarry until you receive the power of God. Now, the promises were given that the Holy Ghost was going to come upon them. But regardless of this promise, did not elude the place of prayer. It didn't mean that prayer is not involved. in the process to receiving the promise. So Acts chapter 1, let me show you that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. Oh, hallelujah. You know what some of you are going to have? Some of you would have godly encounters in your sleep. Some of you will begin to feel strange works of the power of God upon you. Bore Gebaya. It says, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. You see, I told you about the gathering, right? There's something about the gathering. And Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, all of them. Next verse, verse 14. These all, let's read it together. These all, in prayer. Now, you see what I'm saying? Jesus did not outrightly tell them pray. He just told them wait. Because tarry is to wait. Okay? But they had spiritual intelligence to know that when God gives a promise, the fact that God has said something doesn't mean you shouldn't pray about it. So they knew what to do. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Why did the Bible mention Mary, the mother of Jesus? Jesus, God came out of her. And it didn't mean she shouldn't be a part of them. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. It means that there is nobody, no matter how much you have achieved, it doesn't exclude you from doing what other disciples and the anointing. And just because you've gotten there, you stop praying. You need to have a check. Are you following what I'm saying? This all, it says Mary, God came out of Mary. But she still joined them to pray. And some of us are too big to be, you know, she joined them in the gathering and she was involved in what they were doing. You are not a superior disciple. You have not become advanced. First of all, who came out of you now? This one, God came out of her. God came out of Mary. Hallelujah. And even with the brothers of Jesus, everybody was involved. Pastor is involved in the prayer. Pastor says, let's fast. Pastor will fast. Leader will fast. Not just post on the group. All right? Pastor Phil said it's time to fast. And you are the leader, you are not fasting. Just look straight because you are not the one I'm talking about. Pad. Everybody is included in what the church is. That's what they call one accord. Everybody is singing, you are singing. Everybody is receiving. You are receiving. Everybody is evangelizing. You are evangelizing. That's one accord. So it's time to go into hunger for the things of the Spirit. Hunger, not lethargy. Some of you are going to wake up. Hunger for the things of the Spirit. Come on, amen. Hunger, what? For the things of the Spirit. Hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. A day passes and you have not read your Bible, you know something is missing. A week passes and you have not witnessed to someone, something is missing. You must share your faith. Hunger for the things of God. Hunger for the things of God. Hallelujah. They said to one another, didn't our hearts burn while he opened the scriptures? Our hearts burn. You know, this hunger can last you for a lifetime when you stay focused on God. I want to see some of you in the next 10 years more passionate for the things of God, more than you are right now.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.